the P.T. Walkley record as a factor of, I think, what's very common in recording economics now, where the idea of putting out an album isn't as important. It's still important. It's still an artistic statement. But I think the return of this EP, really, you know, 4 to 6 songs, has been a great boon, I think, for the way that to make records and the way to keep focused making records. It's a lot cheaper to make 4 to 6 songs. It's a lot easier to stay focused during that time and keep everybody's creative energy up. I mean, I think that a problem when you're making a big record, especially if you have some money, is that your minds tend to wander and you get unfocused off of, you know, your task at hand, and it can end up making for an uneven album. Whereas if you're only making 3, 4 to 6 songs, it's very easy to stay on task.
It's easier to be on task. It's also, it's an interesting question from a macro perspective of how do you make the most of limited resources? And it's kind of it would be a striking, probably somebody should do a dissertation on this if it's actually worth it. But no, but how economics has driven changes in the output and process of making records. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about limited budgets. You have a couple of choices. You can do live records where everyone gets in the studio. You've got 1 week. Assuming, let's just say that your budget allows you to be in the studio of your choice for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? If you do 3 songs, you can probably get pretty far into producing them. You can get very analog if you want to do that, because sometimes that can take more time or it requires a more expensive location. You can hire session musicians to come in and play things that you may not be able to do.
We're talking horn section, string section, stuff like that.
On the P.T. Walkley record.
Yeah.
The other side of that is a record like the Soft Pack record that you did, where mm-hmm. you're in a studio for a week and you just have the guys play and... Then
we did all the tracking. Yeah,
in a week.
In 1 week. Whereas, you know,
And then the other way of doing it is some of the records I've been working on, like the Paramount Styles record, where you go in on borrowed time, you work for a couple of days, and then you try and create it after the fact in your house.
But I think also the flip side of that is when you have a finished product also, it's a lot easier for an artist to get the attention of critics and listeners if they have a smaller set of songs. You know, if you're saying like, oh, here's 3 songs, or 4 songs, I'm going to put it on my website. This is my new little EP, and I'm going to put it up, you know, however people consume music, however you kids do it these days. You can create, I think that it's a lot more likely for most bands and artists to create 6 to 8 great songs. And then... Okay, but the record what it used to be was the record company would say, we need 12 or 14, more likely because they want to have some B-sides, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and we want to be able to argue with you about what songs we're going to cut.
Yeah, and so you end up with still 8 great songs, and you're going to have 4 to 6 kind of mediocre songs from that band that have to be on there just to fill it out. And everybody knows that that's the case. Everybody knows that. If you think back to your perfect albums or albums that you think are great, they're most likely 10 album songs. You know, they're very short songs.
Exile and Main Street, baby.
Yeah, you know, that I'm serious. Like that's the way it is. And I think
songs.
It's great. Okay, but
that's the Rolling Stones at the peak of their game.
Yeah, and they also how many months and dollars were spent
right.
making
how
that.
Many songs did not make that record?
Yeah. But I mean, really, I think the way that artists, especially new artists, have to create music, I think the small form factor, the 6 to 8 songs, is really, really great. And it's great in the studio as well. For instance, it's kind of what you were saying before, where you have a limited amount of time. With a Soft Pack, these guys are a great live band. And what they create happens between the four of them while as they're rocking live. So we could, using that limited budget, spend a week in the studio doing it all live and doing everyone playing at the same time. We can have time to go to tape. We have time to do the amount of stuff that we need, but we're going to make it as live as possible because that's where they really excel. And that's where you're going to get the great vibe coming across. And the P.T. Walkley thing is we basically use the same amount of time, but this is a guy who writes much bigger songs. We had a horn section come in. We had a string section come in. We had...
You got all Brian Wilson on it.
Yeah, we had two different drummers playing and all this stuff. But which, you know, if we were trying to do a full album would have taken a very, very long time. But because we had focused down on, okay, we're just going to do...
I hear you. I'm working on a record now where I have kind of carte blanche to add whatever elements and the band name I would say, but they haven't really decided on one yet. They were called Super Satellite, but I think that's going to change. But it's...
secret.
I kind of have carte blanche to add or subtract or whatever, and it's a daunting thing to know how do you take a set of 10 songs, arrange them so that they are all, because in a lot of cases I think of the Wilco record, one before that, which is one of my favorite records from the 90s, and I cannot remember the name of the record now.
Oh yeah, sure. It's one of your favorites that you can't remember.
It's, well, that's what happens when you get old, Eli. You should know.
Wilco albums. Let's see what the internet says. Wikipedia. Discography. Summer Teeth.
That
one?
That's the one. On the Wilco record, Summer Teeth, which is so awesome and so, it has so many different arrangement styles, you can tell they couldn't even decide on some of those songs what they were going to do because they put more than one version of it on because it was like, well, we could do it like the Beach Boys or we could do it like, you know, more our previous record or we can do. And I think they were a band that had the resources to really kind of explore the different visions. And even then they couldn't decide which one they liked on one or two of those songs. And when you're talking about bands that have much smaller budgets in this day and age, I think it's a lot easier to bite off a 3-song thing if you are going to get ambitious with the arrangements, because you have a lot more room to fail and to try and to start over again. And you don't have that kind of room when you're working on a 10-song record that has a very tight budget. And like you almost only can make live sounding records when you're trying to make a whole record for the small amount of money that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Even though I have never been in a position where I can convince a band that I'm right about it. it's so rare that I convince a band that I'm right about anything, really. But poor little me.
Yes. Continue.
So on the one extreme, you've got Pink Floyd making concept records in the 70s. And whether or not you like The Wall, it is an attempt to make a very... Or Tommy. You know, these really conceptual records. Most bands are not that coherent in their songwriting. They write songs and they sometimes are related and sometimes they're not. And so the idea that you just have to put whatever, the only really common factor generally to 10 songs is that they were written within the same 12-month period. For some bands, that can be great because it means that what they end up creating is got, they're interested in enough things different over the time period that there's a consistency that comes with writing stuff to close in time, but perhaps a diversity because they're interested in different things. But a lot of times that's not the case. A lot of times is they're working on two ideas and they get 3 or 4 different variations of that idea, a couple of which are good. And then the rest of them are just kind of lesser versions. Yeah. And why should they have to suit a 10 song format, have to make something that's less sort of compelling than it could be otherwise in a shorter...
This is what I'm saying. I think it's very
exciting.
I think it's very exciting that you can do these short things and they're completely viable. Because, you know, let's face it, it's like most indie rock especially, you're not looking at massive sales no matter how you slice it. No matter, you know, Arcade Fire notwithstanding, you're just not going to sell a huge amount of records that you used to be able to sell. So I think that the point is to get people to listen to your music, and the way to do that, it seems to have dawned on a lot of people at once, is to do a shorter amount of songs. I mean, record labels still need albums because, like we said, there's the whole physical aspect of it and there's the whole promotional aspect of it. It costs money, and they to have a wide range of songs, a big collection, I should say, of songs. But it's kind of interesting because this is what used to, and I guess still goes on a lot in the dance music world, where people do singles. So they do 3 songs maybe, one or two songs and then one or two remixes of that song by other groups. And then when they get enough of those singles together, they package it together as an album, and that's the album.
But the fun thing about that is that those are almost like greatest hits records, which
right
it, are like
what's
who
wrong
does
with that?
Who doesn't like a greatest
who
hits record?
Like greatest
who
hits
doesn't?
Record?
I defy you. Eagles' greatest hits sold more records than anybody.
Ooh, Eagles.